This will be a very important manifest program. Five strange signs when God is speaking to you. There's five ways that I have discovered in my almost 50 years of ministry that God speaks, but many of these five ways, methods that I'm about to share with you, most people have not heard. And you're going to say, are you serious? Yes, I'm very serious. And so we're going to cover those today. Now, I want to ask you four questions. Have you ever asked yourself, is that really God speaking to me, or is that just me? Is that strange feeling that suddenly came upon me, let's say it's a burden, is it from God, or is it just something else? How do I know that? What am I sensing? That this strange gut feeling that I have, is this from the Lord, or how do I know it's from the Lord? Or how do I know God is speaking to me? This is a question that people have had ever since that God has been speaking. So I want to point out a verse of scripture that always intrigued me. And I want to begin by saying that very clearly there are times when God speaks, but everyone does not realize it is God speaking. Now, this is in John 12, 28 through 29. Then a voice came from heaven saying, I have both glorified and will glorify it again. Therefore, the people who stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said that an angel has spoken to him. Again, that's John 12, 28 through 29. Now, I want you to notice something here, that there are three distinct responses given, or that people responded to when they heard this voice from heaven. It was God's voice, but to others, it was an angel. But to a third group, it sounded like thunder. So I thought about this one day and said, the three, God's voice, an angel, or thunder. Well, that to me is representative of the outer court and the inner court and the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle of Moses, or later in the Temple of Solomon. Now, what do I mean by that? In the outer court, the Israelites worshiped. In the inner court, the Levites worshiped. And in the Holy of Holies, only the high priest worshiped. So the high priest once a year in the Holy of Holies communed directly with God. Nobody else heard that it was God. But if you were in the second level, which is the inner court, Zechariah, if you remember reading the Bible in the book of Luke, the angel Gabriel, there's the angel, appears to him in that second level at the golden altar. And then in the outer court, which is where the Israelites are worshiping, you have the brass altar and the laver, but there's no manifestation. So outer court is the Israelite. Inner court is where the angels would show up. That's the Levite. Holy of Holies is where God was through the on the Ark of the Covenant, and the high priest was able to tap into that. So there's three levels of people's understanding of hearing from the Lord. To some, they don't discern his voice. They're not close enough to say that was the Lord. Well, that may have been God. It may not have been. I don't know. It's hard to tell. Then there's the next level that bumps into the presence of God, and you'll sense something and say, man, there's a special presence. It's the Lord's presence. It may have been an angel of the Lord. You know, it's here. Then there's the absolute surety that God is speaking to you, which is the third level, which is the Holy of Holies. Now, what really, I'm going to use an early expression, trips me out, is the number of so-called ministers who pastor churches, and some of them even preach on television. And I'm sorry, this doesn't even make rational sense. Who believe that Satan can speak today, but God does not speak today. Now, they will say Satan tempts people. He speaks to you. Satan tells you to do this. Satan inspires you to do that. Don't listen to the voice of the enemy. But then they'll simply say, well, since we have the Bible, we don't need God's voice because God's voice is in the Bible. Well, I agree with that. We have the Bible, which is God's voice. I agree 100%. But then why do we believe, and I don't believe this way, but why do some believe that Satan can counterfeit miracles? You know, Moses threw his rod down, it turned into a serpent, and the Egyptian magicians threw their rod down, and they became serpents, counterfeiting miracles. Satan has counterfeit miracles. And some people get so caught up on the counterfeit that they can't believe there's a real thing. It reminds me of people handling money. If you were to find, and I have in the past, a counterfeit piece of money, fiat currency, that was a $100 bill, would you throw all of your money away? The answer is no. Because you found a counterfeit, you get rid of that, but you keep the real thing. And people are so caught up in, be careful of false miracles, be careful of false prophets, be careful of this and that. Yes, we have to be careful. We have to be discerning. But to say that Satan can do miracles today, but there's a cessation spiritually that God does not, or Satan can speak today, but God does not, I have to ask you the question. We have God's voice because we have the Bible. Have you ever read the scripture and felt like the Lord was speaking to you, not just from the word, but suddenly out of your mind and out of your spirit? Well, guess what? That's God speaking to you. And let me ask you another question. I like to ask some of these ministers this. So you, if you think God does not speak today, how does the Holy Spirit convict people? How are people convicted of sin? The Bible said they can't be convicted of sin unless the Spirit of God draws them to the Father. Well, if God is drawing them to the Father through the Holy Spirit, guess what? The Lord's speaking to them. Otherwise, they wouldn't even be able to be converted without hearing the Lord convict them of their sin. So, let me ask you another thing. Why are we even praying if God doesn't answer? If an answer to prayer is God speaking that he has answered, God speaking that he has heard. So I'm just going to tell you something. I wouldn't give you a plug wooden nickel. I don't even know if there is such a thing for a church that says God does not speak today. I'm just going to advise you that you might want to try to find a place that has more faith in God, the word, and that God's ability than a place like that. That sounds like a bunch of unbelievers to me. And I'm sorry, but I had to say it. Okay. So God is speaking, but the problem we have, people sometimes cannot discern that it's the Holy Spirit speaking. So here's what I want to do. I'm going to get to, boy, look at that big hand. I like that. He's got the whole world in his hand. Made me think of that song. Five strange ways God speaks to you. Now pay attention, because all five of these ways are methods that God has used in my life of nearly 50 years of ministry, June 20 of 26, 50 years, that helped me to understand he was trying to get something to me, something through me, or something across to me. First is the experience of being restless, where there is a sudden restlessness that comes over you. You're not content with your prayer life. You're not content with just reading the Bible. You're not content with just going to church. There's something else that's there, but I can't quite get my hand on what it is. Why is it that I'm up at night? Why is it that I can't sleep? Why is it that I'm so restless? That's where you have to begin seeking and asking the Holy Spirit, what is the situation? And I'm going to tell you something. If you'll really seek the Lord, he will show you. And it may take a couple of days or a couple of weeks, but he'll show you what it's about. Now, restlessness is a sign. I'm going to give you some examples of this in just a moment from my personal life. The second way God speaks to you is by stirring up your spirit. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 16, Paul was ministering, and the Bible says his spirit was stirred when he saw all of the idolatry. And here's what happens. When Paul's spirit was stirred, he wanted to do something about it. So God stirs up your spirit to do something about a situation that other people are saying, we can't do anything about it. There's no way that we can solve this problem. This is too big for us to handle. But God stirs up a person's spirit to show them, I am bigger than your problem. Magnify me. Make me bigger than what you're dealing with. I wrote a song one time that said, tell your trouble about Jesus. Tell your problem about him. A need is all that you need for God to come down and, you know, step in. I forgot the words of it so long ago. But tell your problems about Jesus. All right. Number three, God will then impart in your spirit a sudden idea or a plan that you haven't thought of before. And I've had this happen to me when I was looking for the solution to a problem or a challenge that we were in, and I didn't know how to handle it. And suddenly a idea and a thought, I would call it an inspirational thought, a motivational idea, but it was from the Holy Spirit, not from my own thinking, would just come upon me, and I would say, that's it. You know, when you have a ministry that begins to grow, there's going to be three things that you need. You need a dream, you need a team, and you need steam. The dream is the vision God's given you. It's the idea or the plan that God has given you. The team are the people that you surround yourself with that help make that dream happen. And the steam is the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit that motivates you and gives you the zeal to complete those tasks. Now, the fourth way that God speaks is this. When you become obsessed with obedience. Now, listen to me again. You become obsessed with obeying God. This is God motivating you to the direction where you're headed because you're obsessed with completing this and doing this. You are so, you know, the Bible says the zeal of the Lord's house has eaten me up. When those three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were about to be thrown into the fire, they were obsessed with obeying God. They said, King, we might burn, but we're not going to bow to you because we might not burn. They were obsessed saying, put us in the fire. We don't care because you're not going to make us disobey God. The same was true with Daniel in the lion's den. When the king said, I hate to do this, but I'm going to have to put you in the lion's den. Daniel said, my obedience to God means more to me than the opinions of people. And so when you become obsessed with obedience, I've got to do this. God has got to help me to make this happen. I've got to follow through with this. The fifth way God speaks to you is by opening doors. He opens doors of opportunity, but he also opens doors of opportunities and stages. Now, I have a little statement that I have said for many, many years. I want to say it to all of you watching worldwide on Manifest. And Manifest goes into Russia, Romania, oh my goodness, Indonesia. It goes all over the world by satellite, okay, and other ways. But God does not bless you past your last act of obedience. If the Lord, for example, tells you to do something financially, to bless someone, it could be a ministry, it could be a church, whatever the case may be, many times we'll say, well, Lord, if you will give me that amount, I will go ahead and obey. And in my life's experience, and I'm talking about me personally, it has always been the case that I had to step out by faith and do it before the blessing and the breakthrough came. In other words, I couldn't wait till it came and say, oh, it finally came in. I prayed it and now I'm going to do it. I had to act on faith first. Peter had to get out of the boat before he could walk on water. David had to have five stones in his shepherd bag before he could kill Goliath. There's acts of faith that you have to do in order for God to open the door. And listen, he will not open the next door till you have gone through the previous door. Okay. And sometimes people say they want God to open this massive big door at one time. And you're not ready for the big door. You're not ready for the big thing. You think you're ready, but you're not because you haven't learned to handle the smaller things. He that is faithful, he or she that is faithful over little things, the Lord says, I'll make your ruler over many things. Now, let me give you some quick examples. So I'm just going to look at you right here with this camera because I want you to get this. Okay. Restlessness. When I was 16 years of age, God called me to preach. From that moment on, I had to preach. If I was not studying or praying or preparing messages, I was restless. If I wasn't traveling, I was restless. And so God gave me at 18 years of age, a 7-point outreach plan. And this was the original plan. This says 7-a-month club, 7-point outreach for souls. This was when I lived in Salem, Virginia, and I was 18 years of age when I printed this book. And there are the 7 original outreaches. Now, it's been refined some since the day that we did it, but on this particular book, and here's another one, The Cause and Cures for Fear and Worry. You've never seen that because we're out of copies. We never reprinted. There it is again. I put the 7-point outreach on the back of all of the books that we wrote. And so, by the way, none of the books I'm showing you are available because they were sold out a long time ago and we never reprinted. We have a lot of 32-page books we've never reprinted. So I became restless until I knew that God had given me a plan. And then once God gave me a plan, the restlessness lifted because I knew I had a plan, But my next phase was the obedience of following through. Now, the second thing that happens is God will give you an idea. Here I was, wet behind the ears. That's an expression they used to say about young preachers that just started out to preach. Wet behind the ears. Had hardly preached in three states. I'd preached in Maryland, Virginia, and West Virginia at 18 years of age. And I wanted to print a book. Now, what do you write a book on? Honestly, what do you write a book on when you don't have a lot of ministry experience? You don't even have a lot of life experience. And I searched the Word and found out where Peter said the precious promises. There are precious promises for us. And I said, you know what? I'm just going to write a book about the precious promises for believers. Now, you won't see this copy, and I'm going to explain why, because here's the first copy. I only have three of these copies that exist, and I wouldn't sell the, if somebody gave me $5,000, I would not sell this book because it doesn't exist. And so let me just say that. So this is the original copy, and there's only 500 copies of these books that were printed. Now, to show you how old this book is, I was 18 years of age. This is Perry Stone at 18 years of age. Can you see that? See that? That's Perry Stone at 18 years of age. See? Here's Perry Stone now. See, I'm over here. See? Oh, that doesn't even look like him. Look at that little Italian boy. Ain't he something? So this was a book I printed. Now, here's the problem I had. I had no money to print a book. I had no income. Come, nothing. And I began to pray again. I said, okay, God, I feel like I want to do a book. I'm restless about this. I have to do this. So it's a plan. But what am I going to do? So I had a friend named Emmett Hinckley who owned a print shop in his basement. And Emmett said, I can print a book and lay out a book for you, but it's going to cost you X amount. And I said, let me ask you this. What if I take a drum set? My drum set was probably valued at $1,200 to $1,400. I said, if I give you the drum set for your brother, your son, Buddy, to play, will you print me a book? He said, yes. He took it, laid it out, printed it, and printed 500 copies, and I sold this book for $1 a copy. So he got the drum set valued at $1,200. I ended up getting $500 for the ministry, but it was the beginning. Despise not small beginnings. And this is how the World Outreach Ministry for Voice of Evangelism started. And then we printed other books. There's another one. And again, all these 32 pages, there's not one that exists. I have the copies in a vault, and they're the only ones that we have right now. And so my point is, your restlessness that God is giving you is for the purpose of you seeking a plan. The plan then will present you ideas. When you have the ideas, you have to then ask God, how do we proceed with this idea? It's going to be a small beginning. It will never be big. God likes to see you step out by faith. He likes to see if you'll obey him in little things. Now, the third thing that happens is the bigger plan. Once you do the little plan, the bigger plan is suddenly revealed or emerges. In 1988, in Zephyr Hills, Florida, in the month of February, Pastor Tom Jamies and I were praying. We went to the church to pray all night, and I was on the front pew, and actually I was laying back with my eyes closed praying, and I heard manifest. And this was again 1988, and I heard it, M-A-N-N-A-F-E-S-T. I thought, what is that? And the Lord spoke to me and said, this will be the title of your television program. Well, I didn't own a camera. I didn't own a DVD. I didn't own nothing related to television. And I hid that in my heart, and 12 years later, we had been a guest on Christian television programs during their telethons. We had purchased equipment. We were making prophetic videos and things of that nature. And Manifest started, I think it was in the year 2000, 2001, right in there. So we've been on television 25 years with the Manifest telecast. One of my dear pastor friends, he's also on television. He said, Perry, how did you come up with the name? I said, I heard the voice of God. And he said, that is one of the greatest names for a television program. Manna from heaven, fest, a festival. We're going to have a festival in the Word. That's actually what Manifest represents. Now, the other thing is this, learning immediate obedience. When the Lord tells me to do something, and he knows me, I don't say this in any way boasting. I tried to immediately do it. When he told us to buy property, I went out looking for property. When he told us to build a building, I started planning building plans. And so everything begins with a dream, and then it begins with a team. It begins to develop through a team, and you got to have the steam, and the steam also includes finance to do what needs to be done. And another thing is that you have to go through the doors that are open, and don't ever leave a door that's open. Walk through it and don't ever shut it. Let the Lord close it. In 1980, I was in a revival in Northport, Alabama, engaged to be married, and I broke up with the girl I was engaged with during the Northport revival. And the revival was going to go a week, and it went 2 weeks, and we were supposed to close it out because I was supposed to be in Sylacauga, Alabama that Sunday. Saturday night at 9:30, the Lord spoke to me and said, "Have I told you to close the revival?" I said, "No, sir, you haven't." And I had to go back and call that pastor and tell him I wouldn't be able to come because of the revival breaking out. And he already told me during the day, "Don't cancel." But because I canceled the revival, guess what happened the next 2 weeks? Not only did the revival go on, but I met Pam Taylor, who became Pam Stone, who's been my wife for 43 years. And so I stayed where the door was open. God hadn't shut it yet. So I stayed there till it was time to do the next thing. So God just wants faithfulness and patience. That's what He wants in your life. Well, play this over and over again. Share this message with someone on social media. And keep watching, because we have something special to share with you. And I'll be back in a moment. It was said to be one of the greatest gatherings in the history of our ministry, the best of revival and prophecy combined. If you're interested in a right now word from the Lord and messages that reveal coming events that will inspire and equip you for the future, then these 9 messages are a must on your list to see and hear. Now, I could say so much about each one. However, let me just give you the titles that reveal some of the content. Jonathan Kahn preached on prophetic hints in recent events, what God is saying through these things. Tommy Bates preached the message, "It is time to see signs and wonders for your children." And then we have Joseph Z, who taught a great message on God has unfinished business with America. Billy Burke conducted a healing service that went till 1 o'clock in the morning. Oh my goodness, his message called Get Back the Expectations That You Can Receive a Miracle was a dynamic faith builder. Now, I preach 5 messages that I want to give you the titles on. The Hebrew Year 5252, a massive prophetic discoveries. We also preached on AI discoveries proving that God exists and prophecy is true. One message that left everybody talking was, "If I had one message to leave you, this would be it." We had a Friday afternoon service and I exposed 4 things that almost destroyed me. Well, what a talked about message that was. Saturday morning, I preached on dying ministers, the mysterious harbingers of the end of the age. Now, these 9 DVDs come in an album for offer number 25ME-DVD for $95. The 9 audio CDs are also available in an album for offer number 25ME-CD for a gift of $55. The messages on the MP3 flash drive are offer number 25ME-USB for $55. You can also get the messages on digital download, and you can get that at DL25ME for $45, video on demand, and there's actually 5 ways that you can order these messages, and I hope you will take the time to do it. Now, you can also call Voice of Evangelism at 423-478-3456. You can order online at perrystone.org, or you can write us and send a check to Perry Stone Ministries. It doesn't go to me, but it goes to Voice of Evangelism, and you can request CDs, DVDs, flash drive, or any other of the other methods that we have. Now look, VOE is able to reach the world because of your continual support of these resources and offers that we make available. We have many doors opening, but we can only go through them with your help. We know that these messages are going to change the outcome of your situation, so order them today. This is the last opportunity on the television program you have to get the CDs, DVDs, or flash drive of the main event. Thank you for supporting the ministry. It helps keep Manifest on the air. But I'm telling you something, revelation will change your situation, and you're going to hear some things that's going to open up the eyes of your understanding, that's going to give you knowledge, understanding, and wisdom, and some practical things that you can use in your life. And if you need healing, I encourage you to listen to Billy Burke's healing service. Many people, I meet people to this day that said God touched them in that service. We're going to believe that for you as well. We also want to mention very quickly that we're going to be coming to Gateway Church, that is located in Russellville, Alabama, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, March 20 through 22nd. All of you in that part of Alabama, mark your calendar to be a part. And then Warrior Fest will be the 27th, 28th, and 29th of March. One City Church in Beaumont, Texas, Friday, all day Saturday, Sunday morning. That's April the 10th through the 12th. The International Prophetic Summit, April 22nd through the 26th. And so those are some places that we're going to be coming to. We're going to be coming back to Alaska in June. And we'll get all those out soon. I'm going to be having another Mentoring Institute for Ministry at the end of July. If you're a pastor, evangelist, or you're just a call to the ministry and you want to know how to get started, what to do, and details about it, I'm going to give you 50 years of experience along with some others in July at our Mentoring for Ministry Institute. We're going to announce it at the end of March. We also are going to Israel in May. Pam has her birthday cruise in September. Best thing to do is go to perrystone.org and look up all the information on all the events which are taking place, because we want you to be a part of those if you possibly can. Next week, Jonathan and I will be giving you an opportunity to get our new book in advance. See you then.
If you are a student of Bible prophecy, or maybe just someone who wants to know what in the world is going on, then you don't want to miss the 2026 Prophetic Summit at Omega Center International in Cleveland, Tennessee, April 22nd through the 26th. Hear world-renowned prophetic speakers Joseph Z., Rick Renner, Jeremiah Johnson, Bill Cloud, Brian Cutshaw, Jonathan Kahn, and your host, Perry Stone. These 14 services will answer hundreds of prophetic questions with insight and information. There is no fee to attend, but you must register for seating. Visit perrystone.org for more details. Perry Stone invites you to join him for his 2026 Israel tour. The dates are May 12th through the 21st. There is also an optional tour to the country of Jordan that includes Petra and much more. For more information and how to register, scan the QR code on the screen or visit perrystone.org. Seating is limited, so contact us today.